Well, hello and welcome, everybody. The goal of these quick interviews are for you to get a chance to get to know the people who are going to be on your team, who are going to be working with you. And today we're going to talk to Eric Johnson. Now, Eric is one of the voice talents, voice hosts that we have here. He's worked with hundreds of people just like you to help them pull out some really, really super cool stuff out of your brain and get it recorded so that you can have the best podcast you can be. He's also one of the podcast coaches and is a great opportunity for you to find out really how you can truly be your own loud. We're just going to walk through some questions so that you can get to know him a little bit better. And Eric, the first one is, you know, what does your day look like as a host for Proudmouth?
That's a great question. My day starts about 7:30 in the morning. And I do that because I ask my clients to send me their notes for their upcoming podcast for that day, the day before. That way I can review them. There's really not a ton that I need to review usually, but I like to make my own notes, any questions, follow-up questions I'm going to have. If there's any issues, then I can email them and we can get back together before we record. So that's always good. And then just throughout the day, I've got, you know, emails. Everybody has emails. So I think that it's something that we all have to deal with, which is fine. But then I get my drink and I do my warm-ups, which for me is singing. I like to sing, you know that. So just warming up the vocal cords, I think that's very important for all of our clients to do. You and I are kind of we do multiple recordings a day usually. So I think it's even more important to be doing that. Usually I have between 3 and 6 client recordings a day, depending on how it stacked up for the day. Then in between times, one of the things that I love is, you've helped build this culture. The best part about Proudmouth is that all the team members, their ideas are valued, their thoughts are valued, and we're constantly coming up with things, right? We're constantly coming up with concepts, new ideas, different things that we want to implement in the company to make the company better, and then also implementing things for our clients. So like IAA, for instance. So I'm on chat, going back and forth with people, exchanging ideas, talking about it. And then when my recording comes up, then I'm off and I shut down that so I don't get distracted by anything there. And then I usually end my day with uploading all the recordings, the processes, and then just messaging team members.
You know, that can be a grind, dude. And we totally understand that. When we first started, you know, I was probably doing 6-day podcasts a day. So I've lived that. And surprisingly enough, just so everybody knows, the vocal warm-up saves your butt. You know, when you're 6 podcasts in, if you didn't warm up and continue to maintain your instrument being warm, oh man, you're going to run out of steam and you like this. And that's bad, right? You definitely don't want to do that. But what is it that you enjoy? What keeps you going here, right? When you have 8 podcasts in a day and you know that it's just going to be a heck of a day, what keeps you going here at Proudmouth?
That's easy. The clients. And it sounds cheesy to say that, but I am incredibly blessed with the clients I have. And I enjoy them for a few different reasons. First, they're really great people who care about their clients and their community. So that's the kind of person I want to surround myself with. And if I can do that, then I find joy in that. And I find a lot of comfort in that because I know that we're all doing good work together. The other thing is I love seeing their success, both as they develop as podcasters and also, you know, as they tell me stories of the success that they have with a prospect or a new client because of the podcast. When they can tell me, I met with somebody, never met him before, and all of a sudden they were like, yeah, by the way, I've listened to 10 of your podcasts and I'm totally in. It's like, wow. Okay. That blows them away. And then of course I get fed off of that. That's just me.
Well, I get asked this next question often, just when people are asking me what my setup is and what my work environment looks like. What's surrounding you right now? What's on your desk? I saw you just took a shot of whiskey. So what else you got?
That's a great question. What's on my desk? Well, first my equipment, right? I mean, my equipment that defines everything that I'm doing. And so when you walk in here, you do have a studio feel to it. The background, we've discussed it. I built it because of some video podcasting that we're doing now and branching into, which I love. And I consider that part of my desk. So the second thing I would point out right back there, that's a 2-volume book. I don't know if you recognize that or not. That's The Complete Far Side. Gary Larson had me laughing out loud before LOL was a thing. And it was interesting because as I was growing up, I just had kind of that backwards humor. I looked at the world a little bit differently. And when I totally connected with how Gary Larson, you know, viewed the world. And then one of the other things that I love back there is, so I'm doing this right on the camera, that picture frame. See that picture?
I can't see the picture.
Yeah. One of my good friends gave that to me, took a picture of one of the local statues around here in Omaha. And for those that don't know, it was a fantastic photographer. That would be Matt Halloran. Wow. I love that picture. He took some black and whites and some colors of different monuments around Omaha. And I'm a very religious person. My faith is important to me. And Matt gave me that picture framed one year, and I love it. So I've got it back there.
That could be the only one of those left, dude.
Good. Like, well, I've got it.
I'm glad that you do. Yeah. If anybody's ever in Omaha, which I highly recommend because it's a great freaking place, the bronze statues, and they're unbelievable, man. Like, I couldn't believe more people didn't do that. So that, thank you for that. That's wonderful. I had no idea what that picture was, but now that you said that, I know exactly what shot that was. All right.
Yeah.
So you keep drinking your whiskey. What's in your mug? Now, I this isn't just to rib Eric, but you know, it's really important for all of you to understand that there are a lot of things that go into being a great host. And one of the things that is important is what do you do here? So let's talk about it. What's in your mug
right now? Mm-hmm. It's funny you asked that. It's warm water. Mm-hmm. How boring am I? This morning it was, I had a double shot latte. Mm-hmm. I like coffee. I like hot liquid. I think it's good for your vocals, but we also have to be very careful about caffeine. You know that. Yeah. Caffeine can dry out, can tighten. And I've done that in the past where I'm just like, I've got to get some caffeine. And I've done a triple or a quad shot. And by about 3 hours in, I can tell I'm a little tighter. And I'm like, okay, that wasn't good. So now I balance it out. And so I always have my coffee in the morning, but then I'll normally put some warm water. I wish I like tea, man. I really do, but I just don't. I don't like tea. Mm-hmm. So if anybody has any suggestions for tea, I'll take those. Email me directly. So warm water really does it because I love water. I need to drink more water and then it's soothing, right? And that's important, I think.
All right. What is the digital tool? So as a company who creates, you know, basically a digital marketing strategy for all of their clients, what is your favorite digital tool that you use that you think makes you be the best you can be?
The one that I, you know, I stand behind this 100%, IPDTL is a service that I use to record my clients. It's the cleanest quality that I've ever heard. One of my clients called it IPDiddle. So now it's stuck in my vocabulary. It's IPDiddle. So that's the service that I use to record my clients. One of the most interesting devices I've got is the iRig. And that actually, I purchased that because I wanted to make backup copies of my recordings. You never want to lose a podcast. And that's a horrible feeling. Technology fails. If the computer shuts down, if IPDiddle, were to go offline for any reason, I know that iRig, I'm recording straight into an extra iPhone that I have. It's an MP3. It's a clean copy. I know that I've got a backup, so I won't be losing any copies.
Yeah. All right. What is the best compliment you've ever received about your work, and why has that stuck in your brain?
Man, that's a great question. I still get surprised when I get compliments, and it's usually about my voice. And so it's just weird. It puts me in an awkward position. I get a little embarrassed. I don't know. I've sung for many, many, many years, and not like in shows and things a lot, not recently, but it still kind of gives me the warm fuzzies when somebody says that something that I sung touched them, or they got something out of some music that I did. But I'm not singing on the podcast, so it really catches me off guard when somebody says something to me about my voice. Wow, your voice is fantastic. I just don't think of it that way, which is kind of fun, but it's just still weird. I guess the best compliment I had was somebody said, I want your voice. I thought that was kind of weird, but then they went on to no, really, I want your voice. I want to change Alexa on my app, you know, so it's your voice instead of Alexa. And I was like, you know, trying not to be embarrassed, but it was one of those things. Cause again, thank goodness it wasn't one of my video clients. Cause I know I was red, but it was nice to hear either way.
Yeah. Well, maybe this is the time now for me to share this with you. But since I'm the chief relationship officer and everybody who becomes a client of yours comes through my desk, I talk about your voice all the time, dude. So, you know, you're going to have to get used to that. People are going to get, oh my God, I understand what Matt was talking about with this Eric guy's voice. So,
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. That is the appropriate response. That's exactly that's how you get past all of the uncovering. You just say thank you, and then you don't be self-deprecating, which I know you can be. What is one of your favorite podcast hosting memories so far?
Okay, that's easy because you and I actually get to share this memory. You started working with Larry Heller.
Oh,
Yeah. And Larry is fantastic. And so you started him off on his podcasting career. Let me ask you this. How was he?
Horrible. I love Larry, but he was so bad behind the microphone. And, you know, but he was so dedicated and his content was great. We kept working with him. And yeah, Larry will admit that. So Larry, love you, brother. But yeah.
Yeah. And so you coached him during that process. And then when I came on board, your job role really changed and you had to kind of start phasing clients out to me. Mm-hmm. And Larry was one of them. And when we first started working, Larry was a little apprehensive. And I think his book had come out very recently started together. And so that was new for him. And all of a sudden we just started to see this transformation. You continued to coach him on a regular basis. I coached him on a regular basis, just through the podcast meetings that we would have. And he is absolutely a different person. To see that transformation, not that we changed his entire life, but we changed his podcasting life for sure, introduced it to him. And he is an amazing podcaster now, and he has fun. He gets a ton of great guests on now. He's getting a ton of traction from his podcast. He laughs a lot. I'd never heard that the first few months that I worked with him. And he gets excited when we hit the record button, and his energy level is absolutely contagious. So that's one of my favorite memories, just to see that transformation.
I remember, so you had been working with Larry for, I don't know, about 6-7 months. So you had really, you got to know Larry, Larry got to know you. And then Larry said, "Hey, Matt, I want to talk to you." And I'm like, "Hold on, brother, what's going on?" And I remember seeing his face when we got on the Zoom meeting. And he had this smile. Now, you guys have to understand, he's a recovering accountant, and he'll say that to you. But just the smile that he had on his face, and now, he just provided us with a referral recently, and I was just on the phone with him Zoom with him on that. And he just, I think he's given himself permission through feeling very empowered that what he has to say is mm-hmm. really quite important, that I think that started to bleed into other areas of his life. And I'm very grateful to you for continuing that journey and really picking up that ball and taking it to where I don't have the time nor the expertise to do now. But the next question is kind of really on this though, which is, you know, success stories. Larry is an amazing mm-hmm. success story. Who do you have that is in your book of business right now that you're like, that's a success story that I think people listening to this should know about?
There's a couple different types of success, right? And I think the statistic is that most podcasts last to about episode 10 and then they fail.
Yeah, we call it pod fade. Yeah.
Pod fade. There you go. So I think that milestones are important. Speaking of Larry, Larry's coming up on 100 episodes fairly soon. Dude, I mean, he's creeping up on 100, which is fantastic. We celebrate at 50. We love it when our clients hit 50. And so those are huge milestones for us and our clients. And I think that that's important to recognize because there's a lasting quality to those that are dedicated to do this. So I love that. And then beyond the clients' success stories, like I said, that example I gave you was somebody sat down and somebody said, "Hey, I listened to 10-year podcast," before they ever met. People think that they know you through podcasting. It's kind of like that star quality. If I sat down with Tom Hanks for lunch, I would feel like I know him. He's never met me. He has no idea who I am. He may say, "Hey, nice voice," but he won't know me beyond that, right? And I don't think he would say that. But it would be like I know him because of all the work he's done. And that's what we're seeing with our podcasters. So it's kind of replacing a lot of that face-to-face that we can't have anymore right now. But one example of a success story is Copper Beach. They do fantastic work. Highly educational podcasts, work with amazing clients. And pre-COVID, this is actually probably a month before the whole COVID thing really, really hit. John was at a seminar and he just was talking to a gentleman, bumped into him. And they were talking and he brought up his podcast, which is something that we help our clients do. Organic marketing, talk about your podcast, tell people about it. Think about the episodes that you've had. So when somebody's asking you a question, "You know what? I had a podcast on that actually." Give them that reference. And he casually told this gentleman that, "Yeah, I've got a podcast. And, you know, we've talked about a few of the things we're talking about," because they didn't have a lot of time face to face. You know, in those big meetings, you don't get somebody solo for a long time, and didn't really think anything else of it. They parted ways for the evening. The next morning, they happened to be in the breakfast line, bumped into each other. And the guy, first thing he said is, "Hey, I went to my room last night and I listened to 3-year podcast. You and I are working together." Done. Wow. Done. Right. I mean, it's just like, how does it get any easier than that? Because again, they get to know you without having to spend, well, 3 podcasts, they're about 30 minutes each. That's an hour and a half.
Yeah.
John didn't spend with that guy, but he spent with John.
That's right.
And his son, Michael. They're a team and they're fantastic, by the way. That's, to me, that's another success story, is just the fact that those two work together so well, and now they're getting their voice and showing everybody who they truly are. They're fantastic.
When the world does open up again, which it will, right? And when, you know, you're at conferences or those sorts of things, I mean, you're going to be experiencing that. And I'm just going to pause with this, because I love how you said that. John didn't spend time with him, but he spent time with John and his son.
That's right.
What we try to do is we try to make your marketing ever-present and omnipresent. So it's an opt-in. They have the opportunity to listen and experience your thought leadership when you don't have to be the one giving them direct thought leadership. And I think Copper Beach is a great success story for lots of reasons. One, because they've been wildly consistent. Two, they've really come out. They also came out of their shell. But let's talk about coming out of their shell, because you have to break the ice with these people, right? These are people who, they know me, they know Kirk, right? Mm-hmm. And so they probably listen to our Top Advisor Marketing podcast. They come through the sales process, so they're hanging out with me, and then all of a sudden they become a client of yours. What are you doing to try to make them comfortable as quickly as possible and to break that ice so that you can make them be the best they can be as quickly as possible?
Oofta. Breaking the ice. Well, I think it all starts with the team, right? I mean, you guys, you already queued it up, right? It was Kirk and you, and or just you, depending on how the funnel has worked. And then they're passed off to the rest of the team, which I think is the most powerful part of breaking the ice. The team does a great job with this, because I'm on the discovery call with the client, with their account manager. And the account manager is vital, because they really handle all the behind the scenes stuff for both the client and honestly, a lot for me as well. I mean, they do a great job of organizing things for me, because if you ask my wife, and you know my wife very well, she'll tell you I'm not the most organized person in the world. So it's amazing to have them as part of it, because that's all part of introducing them to the team, getting them comfortable. And I'm just going to pick on one person in our company, Lauren. She's a perfect example of this. She is consistently and constantly smiling, and she loves to laugh at the client and I. And truthfully, it can get a little out of control, Matt. Big surprise there. You've known me for 2 decades. It can get a little out of control, and she, number one, she'll reel me back in when need be, but she also gives me that space to really bring the relationship to the forefront of what we do. For her to have a relationship with a client, for me to have a relationship with a client, it happens right there. And all of our account managers are like that. I think of Lauren, because I think she is leading the pack right now, and I'd love for her to be able to pass some of that on to the others. They're all great, but she really has it down pat. And the fact that she lets me go a little bit, I think, is kind of won me over.
Well, yeah, I think that, and by the way, we've got one of these on Lauren too. So make sure that you have a chance to listen to those two. You know, taking 15 minutes to just kind of take the pulse of everybody on the team, I think is going to be beneficial for you as a new client or somebody who's interested in working with us. Now, the next question, Eric, is a little bit more putting you on the spot. And I like this, just because we have come up with some of these as issues over the years that you've been here and that we've been podcasting as a company. But what about solo casting, right? I mean, what are your thoughts on solo casting? Can somebody pull it off? Why do we recommend, in your opinion, to have the two voices on there? Let's break that down. Like, the logistics of getting behind the microphone and getting your thought leadership out there, is one voice enough, or is it always better to have two?
That's a huge question, right? There's a lot of moving parts there. So I would say, is it possible? Yes. It's all about the content, and that's where I think that our clients lean on us a lot. They have the information. It's in their head, right? It's sitting right here. They do a good job of expressing it when they're in a one-on-one conversation with somebody, when they're asking them questions and they're able to answer those questions. But podcasting is a different beast, right? So if you're solo, if you wanted to do it solo, I can only think of one of three ways that a solo podcast would be successful. And that's honestly, number one, if you're a natural stand-up comedian, right? If you can keep the audience engaged and laughing, which would be extremely hard to do without a laugh track. I don't know if you've seen any of those videos where they have like a sitcom or whatever with the laugh track removed. It's creepy. It's eerie. You're not getting that feedback. And so it doesn't feed you, and the audience may not, you know, buy into how funny you actually are. So that's one problem. But number two, if your podcast is just reading the latest news of the day, in case you're not really a podcast, it would have to be a live stream. And then, well, that's just news, right? That's what news is. You're live. So that would be another solo. And then if you had a very short podcast, I think you could pull it off. 10 minutes max, 8 to 10 minutes, just because it's got to either be motivational or educational. There's not going to be a ton that you're going to be able to express in that amount of time. But if it's short snippets and this is just kind of a, hey, this wanted to give you this thought, this update, and people buy into it and like you as a person, that's great. Then I could see that being successful. But I think I truly believe that two people need to be on a show. And that's not just for my own sake to be your partner in this. It's really, like I said, this sounds self-serving, but a co-host is a must. I don't care if it's a co-host that you have there in your office that is a great personality, you guys click, or if you are doing all guests, then it's you and one other person. That's totally fine. But to get to that guest point too, that's a process that we take our clients through, you know that. But everybody listening to this, we help teach and educate how to run interviews and how to do it best and how to pick the guests that you're going to have on. And we develop our podcasters to do that. All of our podcasters bring guests on at this point, as far as I'm concerned. And that's just how they grow. And also it's a little selfish because their guest is going to share the podcast. So they'll grow because of that. I think it's a two-person gig.
Yeah.
Or more.
Thoughts, anything that you want to leave the listeners to this now that they're having a chance to get to know you? Is there anything else that you'd like to pass on before we wrap it up?
The last thing would be this, and this is difficult only because you don't know me, you don't know the team, but I know these people personally. I've known Matt for 2 decades. The other people I've worked hand in hand with for years, and I have never been in a company that is more dedicated to the success of our client than this. The constant development that I spoke about earlier, it is constant. The word constant is the only thing I can say. It's constantly happening. We are always trying to improve because, number one, we know there's other podcasting companies out there you could choose from, but we want to be the best. And that is on everybody's mind. And the success stories that continually roll in from our clients feeds us. And we know that we're on the right track and we know that they're finding success. So we know that more people will come. If you're thinking about it, get to know the team. That's my best advice.
And we built these, what we refer to as the team features for you to have the opportunity to get to know the teams. So regardless if you've already signed up and Eric is going to be your voice talent or whatever, or if you haven't signed up or anything, you're just doing some due diligence, follow Eric's advice there. Check out the other people on the team. Mm-hmm. Get to know who we have and what we do and feel what we're hoping you feel, which is the passion for people to rise above the noise and to be their own loud. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you, Matt.